You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So, I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be two times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
In an email exchange with Dr. Collins, you conspire, and I quote here directly from the email, to create a quick and devastating published takedown of three prominent epidemiologists from Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. Apparently, there's a lot of fringe epidemiologists at Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. And you quote in the email that they were from Dr. Collins, and you agree that they are fringe. And immediately, there's this takedown effort. A published takedown, though, you know, doesn't exactly conjure up the image of a dispassionate scientist. Instead of engaging them on the merits, you and Dr. Collins sought to smear them as fringe and take them down. And not in journals, in lay press. This is not only antithetical to the scientific method, it's the epitome of cheap politics, and it's reprehensible, Dr. Fauci. Do you really think it's appropriate to use your $420,000 salary to attack scientists that disagree with you?
Oh, I was waiting for him to respond.
The email you're referring to was an email of Dr. Collins to me. If you look at the email
that you responded to and hurried up and said, I can do it, I can do it. We got something in Wired magazine.
No. I think in usual fashion, Senator, you are distorting everything about me.
Did you ever object to Dr. Collins' characterization of them as fringe? Did you write back to Dr. Collins and say, no, they're not fringe, they're esteemed scientists, and it would be beneath me
I did not
to do that? You responded to him that you would do it, and you immediately got an article in Wired, and you sent it back to him and said, hey, look, I've got him. I nailed him in Wired of all scientific publications.
That's not what went on. There you go again.
That
you just do the same thing every hearing.
That was your response. And so, this wasn't the only time. So your desire to take down people.
You're absolutely incorrect. As usual, Senator, you are incorrect. Almost everything you said.
Well, no, you deny. You deny. Right. But the emails tell the truth of this.
No.
This wasn't the only time. Your desire to take down those who disagree with you didn't stop with Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately, and other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature. Five of them signed a paper for Nature, an opinion piece. 17 signed a paper that called it conspiracy theory, the idea that the virus could have originated in the lab. Do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper?
Senator, I never used that word when I was referring to it. You're distorting virtually everything.
Did you communicate with the five scientists who wrote the opinion piece in Nature? Were they... We're describing, there's no way this could have come from the lab.
That was not me. What
did you talk with any of those scientists privately?
You keep distorting the truth.
Did you talk to any of the scientists privately who wrote the opinion? You did.
Well,
what were they telling you privately?
Well, let me explain. You know, you're going back to that original discussion when I brought together a group of people to look at every possibility with an open mind. So not only are you distorting it, you were completely turning it around.
Oh my gosh. I have so much more audio because Rand Paul really took Fauci to the woodshed just a little bit earlier. And I just want to play this audio for the rest of the broadcast. I'm not even going to lie. Because at one point, Hoggle here from Labyrinth brought out, he printed out stuff off of Rand Paul's website. And blamed Rand Paul for this guy that apparently wanted to kill Anthony Fauci. And Anthony Fauci blamed it on Rand Paul having a Fire Fauci banner on his website. We're going to get into that. There's a lot happening today. Welcome to the program. the hell's today? It's Tuesday. Yep. Happy Tuesday to you. DanaLash.com. Sign up for my newsletter, Chapter and Verse. And I have all my stuff up there. You can go and get it. You should sign it. If you're not getting it, you're missing out. And I don't know why you don't want the full experience. I mean, just don't know why. So what's happening today? First off, Project Veritas on the eve of these hearings. And sidebar, which is related to this, though. Has anybody asked Rochelle Walensky, who is double face pantied? She had two cloth face masks on in an epic show of stupidity. I was looking at this woman. I'm like, you are not giving us any confidence at all in your vaccines, doctor. I wasn't confident when I was. I mean, she's like triple vaxxed and she's boosted. She's got all of them and she's up there double face pantied. And Fauci didn't have anything on. They didn't even have a consistency in their face coverings. He didn't have anything on his face. She had, her face was all wrapped up. She's like a damn mummy, all wrapped up. So I wish that someone would have asked that. So we have these ongoing hearings today. Fauci and Rochelle Walensky with CDC. So we've got those two things happening. Then Project Veritas released all of this stuff after. And then, of course, one of their guys just got suspended on Twitter, Eric Spracklin. He just got suspended on Twitter. So they found out all of these documents about gain of function and how it contradicted Fauci's sworn testimony. And it was the document stated that EcoHealth Alliance approached DARPA back in March of 2018. They wanted funding to conduct gain-of-function research on bat-borne coronaviruses. And the project was named Project Diffuse. It was rejected by DARPA over safety concerns, but the main report and what was leaked on the internet a couple of months ago was unverified until now. There was a separate IG report from Department of Defense written by U.S. Marine Corps Major Joseph Murphy, who was a former DARPA fellow. And they say that nothing in the proposal mentions the risks associated with studying gain of function research. And DARPA is Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, in case you wanted to know. It's all about R&D within the Department of Defense. So that's what DARPA is. And they... IG within the Department of Defense was saying that the proposal doesn't even assess these risks of gain of function research. And in fact, one of the comments was, quote, "It doesn't sound normal to me," end quote. So this was all about this top secret shared drive with regards to DARPA, an agency that their job is to facilitate R&D and the material uses of that R&D for military purposes. So there you have it. So, long story short, he lied under oath. I mean, they went at Mike Flynn for that. That's why Mike Flynn didn't lie, though. He just didn't know the answer, and they said it was a lie. This is so insane. So we have this going on. Then you have Fauci and Walensky who are testifying. They've been testifying in front of members of the Senate. And Fauci was complained. He was saying, "I was accused of killing people. I was accused of killing people. Can you believe it?" Hi. Welcome to the reality for half the country where we've been accused of killing people in a quote unquote pandemic of the unvaccinated. So you can eat my shorts. I don't care. So that's been happening. Then you have, for the first time, the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting with the FBI about the FBI and January 6th. Oh my gosh, it's all so stupid. Everything's stupid. That's happening. Then you have the SCOTUS considering the constitutionality or lack thereof of the Biden mandate as it relates to the OSHA rule and their emergency temporary standard, their ETS, their protocol that they're using to justify this, which is a lot like getting the cart before the horse in this situation. You would think that you would wait, but it's built on the structure of you got to pass it to find out what's in it. You got to pass it before you know whether or not it's actually legal to do so. So it's very similar to the Obamacare stuff. So We're awaiting that because those hearings were expedited. Meanwhile, Biden's vaccine mandate, that whole thing has kicked into gear. And now part of that mandate stipulates that every American, 8 tests per person per month is the mandate. Which, do you know how there's not enough tests? A. B. Do you know how expensive those tests are? And C. This idea of COVID forever is neither emotionally, mentally, or financially sustainable. It's craziness. So this is where, this is all the stuff that's happening today. Oh, and then the left decided to go full on Josh Duggar over Ted Cruz's 13-year-old child. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Look, I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing that I was made for. I have a particular set of skills. Okay? Those skills include knowing about gun law and being a master of ridicule. This is a responsibility to my republic that I do not take lightly, ladies and gentlemen. You call and I answer. Reporting for duty. Ridicule is required for that last story. And thus I will deliver. So we're going to get into all of this and a lot more. And you know, when, oh, and then the IRS thing, I forgot about that. They're threatening you all, me all of us, with theater because they didn't get their $1 billion handout. Why are we paying taxes again? That's a statement. It's not a question. Just sounds like a question. All right. So starting with the Fauci stuff. There is a problem that Fauci created that no one else did. And the problem is that he decided to wade into the world of politics. I mean, the whole issue is, he didn't stick with medicine. He decided to go into politics and he created this huge mess for himself. And he's always the victim. I mean, nothing says, let's be transparent about talking on medicinal issues, like printing out stuff from a senator's website and complaining about it at a hearing when we're just trying to get to the answer here. We're just trying to get to the answer. Trying to get some, we'd like to know, because we know he lied about the gain of function stuff already. I could have told you that was bad news. I'm not even a scientist. If he would have said, Dana, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to take some of this bat guano and bat viruses, and we're going to see what happens if we make it crazier and more dangerous. And I would be like, that sounds like a bad time. Sounds like a bad idea. I'm just going to warn you now. That sounds like it's a bad idea. I would advise that you not do that, especially not spend my taxpayer dollars on it. Aren't you so happy that you couponed and you scrimped and you saved and you suffered and everybody did their 2 years to slow the spread and all that stuff? Also, your tax dollars could be pilfered from you to go and pay for gain of function research that everybody lied about. Oh, yay. I love it. Yay. So great. We're going to continue this because the hearings were insane. And also, I've got some very interesting audio from this FBI January 6th thing. Nobody can actually say whether or not the FBI, the level at which they were participating. People make a big deal out of New Year's resolutions, but I want you to commit to one today. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track, like supporting causes and companies that share our values. So, of course, you know, I'm proud to work with my friends at Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage, and in fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers, so you get the same great nationwide coverage. Plus, you get peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the progressive left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veterans and first responders, and more. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Resolve to do something that will help get this country back on the right track. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, some of my friends were super ridiculously excited about this, and I am going to include it in a headline because the level of their excitement was palpable, and I've never seen people It's a big thing, man. Georgia broke a 41-year-old title drought with 33-18 win over Bama. My Bama friends were depressed. Georgia dogs were freaking out. And, I mean, Instagram was nuts. Facebook was nuts. I had random, like, friends of mine who went to school in Georgia who were texting me just, like, randomly. It was crazy. Four decades, Bulldogs snapped a frustrating national championship drought by vanquishing their nemesis in Bama. 33-18. It's their first college football playoff title in 41 years. And George Coach Kirby Smart, everyone was screaming Kirby, and there's all kinds. So congrats to them. And I hope everyone is having an easy day today, because I pretty much would bet that all my friends who were texting me are seriously taking some aspirin today. Yeah, because it sounded like they need it. U.S. surgeons transplanted a pig heart into a human. This actually is kind of neat. It's a medical first. A pig heart was transplanted into a patient after a last-ditch effort to save their life in a Maryland hospital yesterday. They said that the patient's doing well after this highly experimental surgery. It's too early, they said, to know if it's really going to work, but they've been studying on using animal organs for life-saving transplants, and the patient said it was either die or do the transplant. So it was an easy choice for them to make, they said. Very interesting. Medical technology. Clay Aiken is running for Congress again. Yeah, in North Carolina's 2nd District. This is the second time he's done it. Renee Elmers edged him out of the primary the last time he ran, so he's going again. Is he could travel and sing anymore anyway? Can I just say, and I don't mean this to be mean, Clay Aiken is one of those guys that even if when he's 70, he's going to look like he's like the 15-year-old with the cowlick, right? The weird hairline, because he's got very thick hair. And you know how those kids are, like, it's just like AstroTurf. There's nothing you can do with their hair. You can't part it any other way. There's no way. You can't even do like a high and tight. There's nothing you can do. He's that guy, and it makes him look like he's 12. He's always going to look like that. California Governor Gavin Newsom proposes a budget in which he gives health care to people who entered illegally. Just sign them up for state health care. And Fauci's NIH division paid $205,000 for researchers to study transgender monkeys. We're coming back to this, don't you know it. Stick with us. More of the show next.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
I want to turn to the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th?
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th, yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered. And there's video out there of him chanting, "Tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol." This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting, "Fed, fed, 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 fed." Ms. Sadburn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next.
Man. That's the back and forth between Senator Ted Cruz and members of the FBI during this J6, this stupid hearing that nobody cares about because it's stupid. It's happening today with Senate Judiciary Committee. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. Good to be with you, as always, this Tuesday. It is, I'm less interested in all the other headlines about Cruz today I'm more interested in how they couldn't answer a single one of those questions. The Ray Epps thing, that's not like that's not a conspiracy theory thing. The Ray Epps story is this dude who is on video encouraging people to go into the Capitol. The FBI had like a wanted poster for him and all this stuff, and then he disappeared off their website. I went and looked. And the cash pages, you can see if you go to Wayback Machine, it was up there and then it's not. Yeah, I mean, it's all online. I mean, you can't hide this stuff anymore. So they had like this wanted poster for him and then they took it off. Then he was gone. Nobody knows why aren't they interested? They won't say anything about it. How do, fellow ralliers? Seems like he's a Fed boy. I'm just saying, especially after watching one federal agent get outed and arrested because he was armed and he had to show his badge to police at the last January 6th thing. So just saying. So the other thing with Cruz here, and now it makes sense that they decided to do this story today, because at first I thought, well, why is this like their focus today? Look, I disagree with Cruz on things. I disagree with him, for instance, when he was talking about January 6th, and I said so publicly. I don't believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater, and I think that such reactions are emotional and hysterical, and I'm not in any way remotely on the left, so I don't understand that mindset, because the left is purely emotional. I'm very logical. So I look at it, and I'm like, I disagreed with you once. I disagree with my husband on things. I don't throw everything away for that. I can't stand this like 100% or you're my enemy crap. I can't stand it. Now, I think he was wrong with that. And I think Ted Cruz is also trying to preserve maybe a future presidential run, which is never going to happen because he's too, I don't say this to as a pejorative, he's too Ned Flanders, man. He's too legal speak. And I'm just, he's been a solid senator, but I'm just saying. It comes about optics and style and all that stuff. Long story short, I'm getting off topic here. The left decided to go full on Josh Duggar. Oh, yeah. Over his 13-year-old's TikTok video. Ted Cruz's 13-year-old kid. I don't care what someone's kid says on social media. I really don't. I think adults are freaks when they pay attention to what teenagers say. And look, I love our youth and Whitney Houston and Wind Beneath My Wings and all this crap. But I really don't care what someone who's barely over 10 years old and doesn't pay taxes has to say about policy. I don't care. You know why? Because I'm the adult. I'm the parent. Do I sit here and go to my kids in my household and ask their opinion on household matters? Hell no. Why am I going to sit here and go and ask a kid about their opinion? You don't even pay taxes. You even know what the top tax rate is? You know what the marginal tax rate is? You know what corporate? No, you don't. Shut up. There's nothing wrong in saying it. I know that adults have been murdering themselves in the last decade because everyone wants to be like the cool mom, the cool dad. We're the cool parents. Look, we're incorporating your ideas. Stop trying to be kids' friends and be their parents. Long story short, his kid said something. His kid disagreed with him on social media, and the left had a field day. And then apparently she came out and said, and I'm only saying this to criticize the media, otherwise I don't care. Came out and said she was bisexual, whatever. I don't care what a 13-year-old says on social media. My question is, what in the hell are you doing allowing your 13-year-old on social media? What gets me is that this is like a parenting pro tip. It's very difficult to listen to lawmakers speak about regulating tech when they can't even keep their kids off it. It's very difficult for me to listen to lawmakers talk about regulating tech when they haven't figured out the basic action of limiting your child's access to apps. My kids are not on social media. And my oldest is 20 years old. They're not on social media. My kids have had phones too because of the nature of what I do and I would travel and et cetera, and for safety reasons. But it's very easy to do this in parental settings. You can control their screen time. I can shut down their access to everything at certain times. On their computers, I had all the games in a password-protected folder that they could only access and only play when I would enter in a very long password in order to unlock it for them. I can set times on that too. It's not difficult to do this. You do not have to have your child's phone in your hand to do all this either. I can remotely lock and erase their phones. Everything that my son in high school, I control everything. But here's the thing. That's a secondary precaution to raising them not to do stupid things on the internet. That's secondary to raising them not to do that. I really don't even have to do that because my kids know better. I'm not more special than anyone else. I'm just engaged. And I don't buy any excuse from any parent that they can't be. Social media is a scourge to minors. It's a battleground for adults. Imagine what it's like for kids. So this, the whole thing too, the left spied a golden opportunity to use Cruz's kid as some kind of way to invalidate him politically, since their arguments alone were insufficient, which I think speaks more to the stupidity of their positions and their lack of ability to articulate them than it does to Cruz on anything. Just leave the kids alone. Jeez. And also, if your kid's on social media and they do one thing, what are you waiting for? Why haven't you taken their phone yet? Are you worried about an article that's like, oh, well, Senator Cruz takes his kid's phone? Well, hell yeah, that's the parent. You have a Josh Duggar Nation writing articles. It's in the Dallas Morning News, for crying out loud. Dallas Morning News. Imagine a bunch of 50-year-old dudes and middle-aged women get up, go into the boardroom. What story are we going to do today? Oh, let's talk about Ted Cruz's 13-year-old minor child. Yes, that sounds like great content. Jeez. It's weird. And I don't want to get, I'm not giving anybody the benefit of the doubt. It's weird. It is weird and messed up to see grown adults going after kids and using them to go after their parents. What it shows me is that you're weak and you're too stupid to argue a policy position, so you troll TikTok for minor videos. Parents, keep your kids off the damn internet. Keep them off social media. Keep them off. And it's not hard to stay engaged. So here's the other thing. Get this. So after all this happened, I saw this headline from USA Today. This is where the stuff is going. USA Today has a headline, and I'm not even making this up. Any part of this. You're going to hold on to something. The headline is, quote, "We think we know what a pedophile is. There's a lot we're misunderstanding. What the public keeps getting wrong about pedophilia."
What?
Uh-huh.
Getting wrong.
What are you getting? Yeah. What are people getting wrong about pedophilia? The fact that pedophiles should die horrible deaths? That? Because that's right.
That's right.
That it's gross, that it's predatory, that you're victimizing children? I mean, what is there to get wrong about it? It is insane. And they've been trying to rehabilitate, because that suggests that they were fine once already. They've been trying to, I'm trying to think of the word for it. Normal. I guess mainstream, yeah. Normalize the pedophilia thing for quite some time. And now USA Today has a piece on it. These people ought to be run out on a rail. This is insane. Can you imagine? Who gets to jump on that landmine to write this piece? So they're trying to say that they're trying to describe it as being some kind of an attraction of choice in a way. I don't know how to, they're trying to defend it. And crazily, what they do in this article is they actually try to make the comparison to, well, you know, gay people are born gay and pedophiles are just born pedophiles. I'm not kidding you. That's literally what they're doing. Dude. pedophiles should be put to death. That's it. End of story. This is why I like when they get prison justice. And I think that when you have instances like that, I think that you should take a little time off or give some, you know, little, some perks and benefits to the people who, it's like a self-cleaning oven in a way. Take care of that pedophile problem, you know, and yeah, I'm just saying. This is insane. Yeah, what are people getting wrong about this? So this is, I'm floored. Floored. Absolutely floored. So coming up, everything is Jim Crow again. So Ayanna Pressley and all these other Democrats are talking about how voting rights are Jim Crow, or filibusters Jim Crow, because they're talking about voting rights. Filibusters Jim Crow. Except when Democrats used it to block Black Senator Tim Scott's police reform bill. Then it wasn't Jim Crow. Don't let winter weather stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink canned espresso mocha drink. Made with coffee-forward flavors, premium ingredients, and 200 milligrams of caffeine per can, it's a convenient way to fuel your next mission. Black Rifle Coffee Company develops explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members serving this great nation and are committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee Company gives back. The best way to enjoy their freedom-filled coffee is with the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, partner discounts, and more. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find out what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America. America's Coffee, Black Rifle Coffee.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. Go and subscribe to my newsletter, Chapter and Verse. All kinds of good stuff that you don't want to miss. Apparently, Dr. Fauci's back with Senator Rand Paul. So we'll keep an eye on that. We're going to make sure that we keep following it. Because that's the, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So I was telling you guys, and I talked about this online. So I always go, my family, because I love to fish and my family dives and we're water sport people. Like we're the people who are like, let's go do some stuff. Yeah, let's jet ski. Let's go. Let's go out and fish and drink rum. Yay. So we go to Turks and Caicos because they have a huge reef there. And my my youngest is certified to dive, my husband, and it's just a great way where we can knock out a whole bunch of activities at once. Like we can, you know, kayak and, you know, jet ski around salt caves and fish. And I like stone fishing and do all that. And pirate. Yeah, and pretend to be a pirate and dive as well. Well, they are closed unless you're vaccinated, fully vaccinated, 16 and up. And they define fully vaccinated as having every shot and every booster. There are zero exceptions for health. And it is irrelevant whether or not you are recovered from coronavirus and thus have natural immunity. And it's weird because there are other islands in the Caribbean that are like, yeah, we totally recognize natural immunity. Turks and Caicos doesn't. It's bizarre to me. Is the point to get everybody vaccinated or is the point to get herd immunity? That's the question. Which is it? Because those are two very different things, especially when the vaccine isn't actually transferring full immunity to you. And that's not me saying that. That's the science that everybody says they want to listen to, but disregards. That's CDC. So is the goal to get everybody vaccinated or is the goal to achieve herd immunity? Because we're closer to herd immunity now, and there are even some of the biggest critics of those who are hesitant to get the government injection. And they're saying, yeah, well, Omicron's made it to where we're going to be achieving herd immunity at a faster rate because of its mildness. That was the premise of the piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, how Omicron is making Joe Biden's vaccine mandates inconsequential. It's making it, they're irrelevant. So what gets me is that they are demanding, they won't recognize your natural immunity, and they're demanding that you get a government injection to invoke, to trigger what your immune system has already done naturally anyway. And we know from numerous studies, and one of the most recent ones was the Israeli study, and it was cited by Johns Hopkins, by Markey over at Johns Hopkins, they were saying that your natural immunity is anywhere, you know, from 27 to 30 times stronger than the immunity that is induced from the government injection. So again, is this just about vaccinations, or is it about actual herd immunity? We'll talk about that. We're also going to get into how now the Justice Department, I'm sure this is going to go well, they're establishing a DOJ unit focused solely on domestic terrorism. Stay with us. We'll dive into that next.
Vaccination not only prevents you from acquiring severe illness, but we now know with certainty that it largely prevents transmission.
Say, I think this vaccine's, my gut feeling is that this vaccine's prevent infection and therefore will prevent transmission.
The idea that this is not just a vaccine that protects the individual, but that protects even people who are not vaccinated yet, because it prevents transmission.
Now, we already knew that all of the vaccines that are currently on the market and the ones that are being rolled out prevent people from getting very sick. They prevent people from getting COVID.
The vaccine not only prevents people from getting sick, it also prevents transmission of the virus from person to person.
And third, that the vaccines that we have work against the variants circulating in the United States.
That the decision was based on studies showing that it is rare for vaccinated people to both catch and transmit the virus, and that the vaccines work against the variants.
All right, the good news, confirmation that the vaccines do work against the variants that we know are out there.
And there is this general sense that we are coming out of it, and hopefully we are, because the vaccines do work against the variants.
Additionally, we are accumulating data that our authorized vaccines are effective against the variants that are circulating in this country.
So they work, they prevent, they don't, though. They don't. It's cool.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
They don't prevent transmission. I didn't say that. That's Rochelle Walensky. Yep. Welcome back to the show. Sign up to my newsletter over at Substack. And you can find it chapter and verse. All good things. So, quick thing. The, you know my interview with Dr. Robert Malone that took place last month? Facebook has taken it down two times now. Mm-hmm. Two times. Facebook has removed it. That's why I tweeted, good morning to everyone except the fascist butt hats over at Facebook, because it's true. Two times they've taken it down now. They said it was false information. We were literally talking to the inventor of mRNA about mRNA, and the dump trucks who run Facebook are like, that's a lie. Those are lies. The simple jacks who are up there running Facebook, they're like, that's a lie. Those aren't true things he's saying. He literally invented the thing he's talking about. But you guys don't like him because you're a bunch of fascist knobs. That's why. You can't even have discussions on this stuff anymore. Good heavens. So, and that's a true thing. I mean, they won't even allow any kind of, they're so afraid of any kind of discussion. You know what? When you are removing someone's ability to speak, or when you are silencing a person, you are not winning a debate. You're showing everyone that you're terrified of what they're going to say. That's what you're showing them. I am fascinated that we have so many people who are so tribal that they cannot even entertain the thought of allowing to exist a difference of opinion. Now I hear that Meta, Facebook, is coming to Austin. They want to relocate to Austin. If Greg Abbott isn't at the border with a torch and pitchfork to run them out, I'm going to be mad. I don't want them here. No, no, thank you. Go back to Silicon Valley. We don't want you here. I'm bringing all your California fascist employees. We don't want you here. It's all right. Now, they took it down two times. Even the clips, they took it down. And then they had a threat that, well, if you keep posting this, if you keep posting false information, who is the brain trust that determines whether or not it's false? Some glorified barista that has rat-grats tattooed on their neck? I'm curious. Who are the What? I'm not against tattoos. I have some, but you know what I'm making fun of. Just saying. It's true. So the hearing is ongoing. Rand Paul and Fauci were going back and forth a little bit again as well. The CDC admits that COVID isn't a threat to the vast majority of people. And by the way, Scotland decides to delay fertility treatments for unvaccinated women. Yesterday, I was on Fox talking about how there's a study now that confirms, you remember when all us women were talking about the effects that the vaccine might have on women's reproductive cycles, and how when women were on social media asking these questions, or when there were women who, by the way, weren't even Republicans, and not all of them, I would dare say, were even Trump supporters, but they were all sharing information about how they noticed alterations to their monthly cycles after they had their vaccinations. And whenever they brought up that issue as a concern on social media, they were attacked for it, mansplained by progressive males and attacked for it by other progressives. Some even were permanently suspended from social media. And then we found out that the CDC in the very beginning had not even considered analysis of the vaccine's effect on women's health at all whatsoever in initial tests for adverse reactions. So a year and a half afterwards, then they said, okay, well, we're going to now actually look at this. And it took two female doctors to create a database logging all of these issues that were submitted by women to their OBGYNs. And so they created a database of this. Well, now the initial findings of this study are out. Yeah, it does affect a woman's cycle. Sometimes, especially the thing that got me the most were those that it would change their whole cycle entirely. It would lengthen it, shorten it, and some others, and has to do with a protein spike. And then there were older women that were postmenopausal that all of a sudden they had a cycle again. That's kind of crazy. But we couldn't ask questions about it. For what reason? Because the people controlling the narrative were so terrified of having to be transparent that they actually decided to have a little scientific war on women and tell women to shut up about concerns over very real things. And the study vindicated all of these women. It's a huge issue because that's a huge issue. And also, you're talking about mandating it for young women, adolescent females too. But yet, I'm supposed to just weigh this here a moment. You're looking at agencies that say pregnant persons, but then also they want to tell women that there's no worries about any of this to their reproductive health. You can't even recognize science. How in the hell am I? You don't even know what a girl is. How in the hell am I supposed to listen to you and trust you on quote unquote science? See, it's that inconsistency. I noted this in the newsletter yesterday and it made me think of this. The other inconsistency is the view of the severity of not showing fealty with a jab. So we talked yesterday about New York's, the DA, who's really going to be putting their new mayor in a really difficult spot. The DA is downgrading things like, that's their own memo, downgrading things like armed robbery to a misdemeanor. But yet you actually can face the same exact amount of jail time for armed robbery as you do falsifying a vax pass in New York. The penalty is actually, according to the DA's desire, harsher if you ignore your vax pass or try to falsify it, as opposed to if you commit armed robbery. So if you're in a restaurant in New York and you commit armed robbery at a restaurant, you know, you get a wrist slap. But if you try to enter with a falsified vax pass, that's a felony. How insane is this? It's this inconsistency which is rocking and completely destroying public trust in these institutions. Because that trust is built on consistency. If they're consistent in issues, then we believe them. That's how it should be in science, because consistency, the consistency is predicated upon where the facts lay. This is some of the crazy stuff that we're dealing with here. Now the IRS wants to threaten Americans with theater because they didn't get their $1 billion handout. U.S. Treasury warns of a frustrating tax season because of their backlogs and longstanding operational problems. The Politico reported this from a Treasury Department official yesterday. They said they're still dealing with 2 years' worth of backlogs in processing returns. And they said they're still trying to process 6 million individual returns as of December 23rd. And they said that the returns for 2021 are due April 18th for most individual filers. And they said that, which I don't even know if we're supposed to be locked down, and I don't even know why we're paying anything. So they're mad and they're saying, oh, well, look, it looks like you're going to, even if you file electronically, it looks like you could still be caught up in a backlog. Just saying. That's like they're saber rattling because they didn't get their money. They've gotten so much money anyway. This isn't an issue of money. It's an issue of incompetency. It's entirely an issue of incompetency. That doesn't make me want to get them more money anyway. I'm done with these government agencies doing this. Like, for instance, I mentioned a little earlier how the DOJ wants to, they're creating a domestic terrorist department. Andy McCabe, who worked with DOJ, was number two at FBI. He wants to treat conservatives like domestic terrorists. McCabe says that conservatives are like the Islamic Caliphate. This is the same DOJ, by the way, that said that parents were terrorists. And now this DOJ wants to create a new domestic terror unit. The same DOJ that called parents terrorists. Unbelievable. Do you try? I don't trust them.
Hell no.
No way do I trust them. No way at all. We have more to come here, including the filibuster fight. Everything's Jim Crow. And the ongoing hearing with Fauci and this doc dump from Project Veritas. They had another one of their people suspended from Twitter after they shared information about the doc dump related to the line under oath that Fauci engaged in when he was testifying about gain of function research. You have New Year's goals and need energy to tackle them. So I'd like to introduce you to a different way to start your day with Super Beats Heart Chews. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, or candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Super Beats Heart Chews' unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promotes heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Heart Chews are a tasty treat that gives you the energy that you need and are good for you. Now for my listeners only, you can get up to 45% off plus free shipping at danasbeats.com. This is their best offer available anywhere. That's danasbeats.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, all right. So, excuse me. Whole Foods is defending themselves still. Yesterday, we brought you the headline that they were saying that it is their First Amendment right to ban masks that say Black Lives Matter. Really, they don't like any political messaging, which is something that every single article writing about this issue is ignoring. They're not going to let you wear a Trump mask and come to work. They're not going to let you wear a Black Lives Matter mask and come to work. And unless you people are involved in the private business and spending the hours in the Capitol to keep Whole Foods running, Everybody can STFU as it relates to how a private business wants to conduct their business. This is not bake the cake stuff, okay? It's not. I'm so tired of these stupid articles that omit that they don't like any messaging on their masks, but only people only want to talk about BLM stuff. It's asinine. So Yale is suffering, apparently, so they're sucking up to the Communist Chinese Party. Prominent Chinese Communist Party members are now serving on the board of Yale's Beijing Center. The Ivy League outpost hosts pro-Beijing events funded by CCP-friendly Chinese business leaders. And two of them are on Yale University's board of their academic center in Beijing. They're not the only people who are cozying up to the CCP. Whether it's universities or businesses, this is a real problem. T cells triggered by the common cold, which itself is a coronavirus, can also help fend off the coronavirus because it's a coronavirus. So yes, if you get a common cold, that's a coronavirus, and the T cells from that coronavirus can also help fend off other coronaviruses. Oh, science! We've known this for 2 years. Experts are casting doubt over the reported Deltacron variant. They say it's likely due to lab contamination. Kane thinks Deltacron sounds like a transformer. It does. It also sounds like a corrupt cabal of, I don't know, like a James Bond thing. It's Deltacron. Can you believe it? Or a really, really bad company or something. I don't know. Just a couple of publications. They're talking about how now smart, I love the headline, Glock style. What the hell does that even mean? They can only be fired, the smart guns, right? They say they're going to be available for purchase in the U.S. this year, 2 decades after questions about reliability concerns. I don't like smart guns. Look, I am not at all opposed to voluntary use of tech with firearms, but considering the number of times that this tech fails to even unlock your phone when you have to use your fingerprint or, you know, anything else, imagine needing defense and not being able to unlock your gun when seconds count. Or some of the smart guns, if it's not fingerprint, they use RFID and you have to pair a watch or a ring to them. I don't even wear jewelry all the time. You have to put on something and wait the seconds that it takes the RFID to pair in order for your gun to be operational. I mean, it's fine for, you know, fun, but there's no way in ever-loving hell I would ever rely on a dumb gun to actually provide myself defense. No way. Stick with us. More in store. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit LegacyPinvestments.com.
Dana gives you the meat and potatoes news of the day. None of that tofu news. More like bacon with a side of hash browns news. The news you want, the way you want it. The Dana Show.
This wave of political violence that's really not just confined to the Capitol. It's going on in school boards around the country. It's going on in local elections. It's happening, you know, even to healthcare workers. I mean, that has got to be considered a threat to national security, not tolerated.
That's Andy McCabe, who was number two at the FBI, who's trying to defend the DOJ wanting to create a whole brand new addition to look at domestic terrorism, which, you know, they just got done calling parents terrorists. There doesn't have to be a federal police response to school board violence. And there hasn't been school board violence at all, except for police responding to a dad who was called to a school because his daughter was raped in the bathroom due to school board policies. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. And I'm going to tell you what, yes, someone better get their ass whipped if someone's child is raped in a bathroom because school boards are allowing boys to go in girls' bathrooms and not saying anything about it or stopping it and trying to soft establish it before the school board even gets to vote on it. And then lies about it, tries to smear the dad, tells the dad to not talk about it, and tries to gag the family. Oh, hells yes. Crazy. No, the terrorists are inside the house. That's what it sounds like. Andy McCabe, is he and other people like him are a rot in the system. Our government's too big. Too big. A few other things to discuss here. I have to share this headline with you. I first saw this headline and I was like, first off, what? The headline is Arizona mom slams Delta for their lack of gender options for her non-binary child. Her child! She's so mad because she said she thought U.S. Airlines were going to update booking options to be inclusive of non-binary passengers. I mean, it's very important. You can't bring on any hand lotion bigger than 4 ounces, but it doesn't matter how you want to identify. We don't care about identity purposes, apparently. So the mother, in a Twitter thread, Dawn Henry, 52, she was trying to buy a ticket for her child. And she was so mad that her 21-year-old child, wait, hold up. Yeah, is this Hunter Biden? Her 21-year-old child. Okay, first off, I think, ladies and gentlemen, we've identified the problem. The Latin name for this virus is called Normicus Baeticus. It's the psycho variant wherein an adult person has mommy issues. Don't refer to your 21-year-old as your child because you sound stupid. You might as well go and say, this is my 234-month-old baby or something like that. I mean, nobody does that. Stop it. So, oh my gosh, stop it. For real, it's that bad. Good night. I mean, that's really old. Yes, Kane.
How old were you when you booked your own flight?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I was 18, my first flight that I booked.
Yeah.
And then the next one, I think I was 20. So I had already booked 2 flights back before computers were a big deal. And this guy's 21. Needs
I was
his
close.
Mom.
252-month-old.
Yeah,
I was
you
close.
Were close. You were close.
The 252-month-old baby.
So that was one concern, the ticket and how old you are when you booked it. But the other concern is, if it's non-binary or binary, isn't that alone a binary system?
Yes, but don't be factual now.
I mean, by saying you're non-binary, you're actually binary because it's a two system. Either you're non-binary or you're binary. That's a binary system.
Yeah, it's a binary system. Her 252-month-old baby, her little adorable 252-month-old baby, her non-binary baby.
The applesauce and the little squeeze
weaned
bags.
And everything.
Little squeeze bags.
Little squeeze bags. Do you got your Lunchables? Oh my goodness. Do you have your Go-Gurt? Oh, that's the problem. So this Karen, Dawn Henry, she goes on Twitter complaining and yelling about Delta. And she's like, oh, I'm committed to fixing this. Fixing what? Gosh, please don't let me just have to state it all out. Really? What are you needing to fix? The airlines are like, what is your identity? What is it? I can't even wear a damn hat going through security. Step off. But you can be like, oh, nope, I don't have a wiener. Well, I don't know. Just stop. Why are you? Shut up. You know what? No, I'm not going to. I'm so done with political correctness. Anyone who's offended, I hope you are. I want to offend you to the point where you don't infect the rest of society with your stupidity and you remove yourself from our company. Get out. You okay? Yeah. All right, over there. Are we for real? Are we not? Are we going to pretend that we don't have certain bits? I can't even take flipping hand lotion, but you can be like, it's a phantom wiener. I don't know. What's up?
But what does that have to do with booking flights and flying somewhere? What did you say? Phantom wiener?
Yeah, band name.
Oh, boy.
That actually may have to come to fruition.
I have to write that one down.
Ooh.
But I mean, what's the airline supposed to accommodate exactly? That's what I want to know. Like, is it the bathrooms or the
they need to the bag of nuts accommodate Don Henry's make believe.
It makes zero sense.
See, this is the thing. I don't care what you want to do in your own life. I don't care. If I got to follow the rules, though, so do you. The end. You ain't no more special than me or anybody else listening. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do in your own private life. I'll even get on to someone who wants to boss you around about that. But when you sit here and you start making headaches for everybody else, then we got problems. I'm a busy person. I don't got time for no more nonsense in my life. I'm sure everyone listening can agree. Can you imagine? Like, she's like, I'm going to change this with the planes. If you're going to change something with the planes, privatize airline security. Do that. So she made a big Twitter thing about it. She's like, I reached out to them. And I was like, oh, you only recognize the male and female genders because there are two genders. But that's it's an impossible policy. I can't buy a ticket that goes along with what I'm make-believing. You can do whatever you want, but stop. And the fact that she's got to do it over her 252-month-old baby is so messed up. That's the problem. You got a Cynthia for a mom. That's the problem. I didn't see that coming a mile away. That's the problem right there. Jiminy Christmas. And so now they have what? ACLU is all like, well, you know, several courts affirm the rights of what, blah, blah, blah. It is only for you and the airline so you can get on. They're not even saying that you can't get on the flight. They're just like, for security identification purposes, we have to do this. But somehow your fantasy wants to disregard security and identity purposes. So what good are the rules if you can just claim something to get around them? Hmm? Can I go and bring a full-size hand lotion, a big old tub of CeraVe, and bring that up and be like, okay, so this identifies as 4 ounces. How dare you? How dare you, sir? This identifies as 4 ounces. You're a bigot. I'm not wrong. I mean, you can disagree with me, but I can't agree with you because then we'd both be wrong. That's the same thing. She said she's not seeking legal action. She just wants to bitch on Twitter. Twitter is the sewer of America's discontent. It really is. That's how they should advertise themselves. Come and enjoy the sewer of America's discontent. Twitter. It's what it is. 252-year-old baby. Month old. Yeah, 252-year-old month old baby. That's like the whole, I mean, I get it if you're like, oh, they're 12 months old. Okay. You can just say a year. But even then, I'm like, okay, come on. I have kids. I'd be like, they're almost two. Oh, so 18 months? Shut up. They're almost two. This is stupid. I mean, there are people out there that's like, this is my 30-month-old. Shut up. That's dumb. Let your kids grow up. Jiminy. Oh, there's so many different routes I could take this down that you'll die at. You really will. Yep. Yep. I don't know. Everything is so dumb and people make up stuff to be offended about. That's like the goal in life for people. What can I be offended about today? My goal is to be offended. Because they view themselves, instead of actually curating and cultivating virtue, they make up something to get offended about so they can pretend that their virtue, their good nature is offended. And they use that as a substitute for cultivating actual virtue. Well, I'm offended because I am good and pure about something, and these persons offended me, so I'm offended. I am virtuous. No, but that's what they do. They use it as a substitute. What's the point of being good if you can be offended over everything and make everyone else to be the bad person? And you could just gaslight everybody. That's the whole, it's the obliteration of virtue through fake and perpetual offensiveness. That's it. Goodness. I could talk about this for quite some time. Like, I actually have grown adults arguing with me over the fact that you shouldn't use a politician's kids. I don't care if they're right or left, to go after an adult. Well, shut up. Go shave your back, Cynthia. Nobody cares.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's Chapter and Verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Senator Paul.
Dr. Fauci, it's disappointing for you to suggest that people who dare to question you are responsible somehow for violent threats. Realize that by attacking me, you're attacking the one member who actually has suffered from violent attacks. I was at the ball field today. Steve Scalise almost died. I was 10 feet away from a staffer who was shot in the leg. We had over 160 rounds of semi-automatic weapons fired at us, ammunition. So for you to somehow suggest that somehow I or people who dare to oppose you are responsible for threats, that's insulting. The person who shot at us and almost killed Steve Scalise was a rabid supporter of Bernie Sanders. But the one thing you'll find if you look at the record is that not one of us accused Bernie Sanders of being responsible for that. So this is the kind of ignorant sort of personal attacks that you've engaged in. You engaged in these attacks with fellow scientists. Not only was it three scientists from Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford that you chose to malign, 50,000 scientists and medical doctors signed this petition. And what they wanted was something that most Americans think is pretty reasonable. It's a different kind of approach. Instead of saying that everyone is the same and everyone should get the same treatment and everybody ought to just get vaccinated, what it did is it said that the death rate for this disease is extraordinary in the risk being different according to ages. So if you look at an 80-year-old, it's at least 1,000 times greater death rate than it is for a 10-year-old. So wouldn't we want to say that, well, we're going to assess the risks of each individual and have the treatment according to that? Or would we just simply say everyone should be vaccinated? The death rate for kids under 18 is about 1 in a million, a little bit less than the chance of being struck by lightning. We don't yet know fully whether or not kids who have already had COVID might be at risk for some of the side effects of the vaccine. Still needs to be explored. But for a kid under 18 who's already had COVID, see, it's death rate of about 1 in a million, even if you haven't had a disease, even if you haven't had COVID, it's about 1 in a million. It's extraordinarily uncommon for a child to die. If you've already had the disease, it's probably a great deal less than that. Many Americans wonder why you've steadfastly refused and worked with others to try to hide any kind of knowledge of natural immunity and how it would affect our decision making. So, for example, you know, you have a 10-year-old kid and his mom comes up and all of a sudden he gets myocarditis from the vaccine and dies. Admittedly, a rare complication. But what are you going to tell her when she says, well, he had COVID 3 months ago? I mean, why would you force me to vaccinate my kid? Why would you force me to vaccinate my kid without even checking to see whether he's already immune? Now, the idea of natural immunity is the idea upon which vaccines are based. We've believed in, and all of medicine is based on, the idea of acquiring natural immunity. People often respond and say, but you don't know how long it'll last. Well, we don't know how long vaccines will last either, and that doesn't make us anti-vaccine. We do know that the vaccines are waning very quickly in potency. We do know that the vaccine against Omicron really isn't preventing transmission. You've noticed that the debate has shifted, and the debate is now talking about trying to prevent hospitalizations and death. And I agree with those statistics. I think it's a good idea if you're at risk to be vaccinated. I've always been pro-vaccine. I'm just simply against authoritarianism and against mandates.
That's Rand Paul. And he is so right. Oh, that's still ongoing. And I got more audio to even bring you. It's so great. I'm very excited. Let's get into the Florida Man real quick.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, here's a headline from The Villages. The Villages. A Sumter County Sheriff's deputy was forced to break a pickup truck's window open, during the arrest of a drunk driving suspect. It was at 1 a.m. on a Sunday in the Villages, and the driver was identified as Wyatt Glenn of Oxford. He was asleep, had his foot on the brake. The car was running. He would not open the window, roll down the window, and he would honk in response. And then he tried to literally crack open a cold one and drink it in front of police. Oh. Literally right there. So he was completely arrested. They actually had to use a tool to break the pickup's window, and the deputy had to put the truck in park because it wasn't. Man, it's like, why are you trying to fight everybody? Like, why? Why even do it? Good heavens. All right, folks, coming up, a lot more in store. The latest with the hearings and the filibuster is Jim Crow, except when Democrats do it. Stick with us.
Senator, you are totally incorrect.
Well, we look forward to reviewing it.
Senator Marshall, Dr. Fauci has answered you. It is public information, and he's happy to give it to you if you would ask. Senator Moran.
What a moron. Jesus Christ.
Well, that was Fauci on a hot mic. Wow. Boy, science. He's mad. Hoggle's mad, dude.
Science is salty.
Dude, for real, man. Welcome back to the show. Third hour of the program, DanaLash.com. Good to be with you this Wednesday. Yeah, dude, Hoggle's mad. Just saying. My, oh, my, oh, my. So, it's not going well for him. The hearing, that was, and he actually had the audacity to complain. And, by the way, well, good to be with you, Dana Lash here. He had to have the audacity to complain when he was talking with Rand Paul, saying, well, people were saying fire Fauci, and some guy said he wanted to kill me. And Rand Paul's like, yeah, tell me what that's like. I mean, he was at a ball field when some Bernie bro tried to murder a bunch of congressional members. And then he was attacked by his crazy lefty neighbor who broke his ribs in a beatdown. He jumped him from behind like a pansy. And that's a dude, that's an old lefty, that's a Democrat old man move. He tried to go at him from behind. Jiminy. So yeah. That's crazy. And he made this problem for himself because he's straight into politics. So that was when he was talking with, you had Rand Paul, and then right after him was Senator Roger Marshall, and that's when Fauci was like, what a moron. And then he took the Lord's name in vain. He was mad. Mad with that. But wait, there's more. Play this, that one soundbite I think I put in there, where he's holding up. He actually went and printed out this stuff off Rand Paul's website. Listen to this. This is the last thing I put
Fauci
in slide.
With a little box that says, contribute here. You can do $5, $10, $20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain. So the
you
only
have
thing
politically
that,
attacked your can, colleagues and in a politically reprehensible
the
way
only thing
attacked
that I
their reputation.
Okay,
you won't defend it.
No,
you won't argue it.
I'm
You'll just
sorry,
simply turn around the attack.
Oof. Well, and Rand Paul's not wrong. He's not wrong. Fauci attacked everyone else who tried to disagree with him. He went after Renfield. He went after everybody. Or Redfield over at CDC as well. He went after everybody. Anybody who disagreed with him, Fauci tried to smear. And then he lied under oath. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, gain of function. Oh my gosh, here's all these emails. You greenlit it. I mean, you not only knew about it, but you greenlit it. That's a pretty big, that's a pretty big thing. And so the on and on and on with this. They're just trying to get answers. Imagine printing stuff out from a senator's website and holding it up as a way to dodge answering questions, because that's exactly what he did. Yeah. Imagine. Pretty amazing.
And it goes further because Fauci engaged in fascism by shutting down these other doctors who had different opinions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true story. So I thought that Senator Paul cornered him with this. And this is not just a flex, a political flex. I think you can now see exactly why this has been so. I really think Fauci's own ego has made messaging so much more difficult. What did I say last year? All Fauci had to do when they started asking him political questions, he could have said, look, I'm here to talk about this virus, and I'm here to talk about mitigating the spread of the virus. And I can answer any question as it relates to science and medicine. But what I'm not going to do is get involved with policy, because that's for the elected officials to determine based on the answers and the science and the facts that I'm giving them. So I'm happy to answer those questions, but I'm not going to stray into areas that our elected officials deal with. This is what I deal with. But see, they would have not kept, he wouldn't have stopped getting invitations to go on CNN and MSNBC. They wouldn't have put him on the cover of magazines. He wouldn't have had his own merch line. He went along with the branding of himself. And he went along with, I can't tell you how many sound bites we've had. I don't even get them. I don't even get all of them anymore for radio because it's the same thing. It's him talking about policy and politics when he, and you realize that, I mean, I look, I don't doubt that he isn't, I don't doubt that he's political, but that's not, he is in a position where you'll have to appeal to every aspect of the country, regardless of political affiliation. And if you're alienating half of the country because you're engaging in politics, when you should be specifically focusing on medicine and the facts of this issue, and you're getting into petty disputes with your colleagues over the political implications of this and politics, and it comes out to the public and then you deny it. That's the issue that's created. Fauci made his own mess and he refuses to be held accountable for it. And I think some of this, too, is him trying to cover his own backside. I mean, he lied to members of Congress under oath. There's a difference if you're testifying before Congress without not being under oath. But when you do swear an oath, well, then you have to be held accountable for that. And there's a reason why they swear you in. And he was not honest about the gain of function research. He was not honest about what we were funding and for what purposes and when. And he was not honest about weaponizing his authority. He's been at NIAID longer than I've been alive. This man has been at his job. He's been in this government position longer than I have been alive. That's a while. And he has been there so long, he believes himself above reproach. He believes himself above accountability. And when you refuse to be held accountable and acknowledge mistakes, you can't complain then thereafter that people have no faith in you. You can't complain that they about how they want to fire you because their sentiments towards you. Look, you can sit here and you can have whatever you could have had, however many people you wanted to go out and criticize Fauci. If he would have just stayed doing what he was doing, people believe what they see. You're not going to have somebody like Mike Lee or Rand Paul go out there and be like, oh, Fauci's horrible. If he's actually just doing his job and staying away from the politics of the electioneering of it. But he didn't do that. And that is something that's not up for dispute. He didn't do that. All these emails show the political nature of the backbiting and the suppression in which he was engaged. And then going on television, CNN and MSNBC, even Fox, and trying to get political. I will never forget when Chris Wallace, of all people, was interviewing him. And this was like a year ago. And we played some of this exchange. I will never forget. Wallace asked him a question that was specifically about the spread of the virus. And Wallace's questions, I could tell that he was very tempted to. And look, I think that he is a leftist. And I think that he, I think he's on the left. And I think that he was riled because he felt that he was maybe a little bit blue at a red network, whatever. But he was a good interviewer. And I could tell that he legitimately, and we had played this audio and we talked about, this was over a year ago, actually. And I want to say this was right when they were talking about quarantine periods and some of the stuff as it related to the vaccines, etc. And Wallace was asking him specifically a question about the vaccines and mass vaccinations, etc. And Fauci didn't really address it and started going into policy, what kind of policy should be established for it. And I'm thinking, whoa, 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 whoa. That's an answer I would expect a senator or an elected representative to give. This is a guy who's at NIAID. Wallace is asking something specifically about vaccinations and any and I want to say that he was sort of hinting and going down the road of, well, what does this affect mutations? It's a very sciencey question. And Fauci starts going into policy. And I just, that really struck me, because remember in the very beginning of this, I didn't join the pile on, and I was, I am only going to criticize if I feel criticism is due. And you can listen, everything that I've ever said, being on air for 3 hours a day for a decade, is all online, including the past 2 years. And you can see as the months went on, playing this audio, and he just refused to stop politicking about it. That began to affect my perception of him. And now my perception of him is dramatically altered from the beginning of all of this. And that Wallace interview, I think, was the first time that I was actually aware that my perception of him, that I realized, yeah, you know what? I actually don't have a, I not that I had faith in government people to begin with. I think that would be a misplaced statement. I think it was faith in someone's devotion to do their job well and stay in that particular position, which he made very evident that he did not want to do. He enjoyed the attention. He enjoyed the interviews. He was accepting every single interview request. And it got to the point where there were things that he really could not speak on that other doctors who were on the task force were handling. And I think that's where some of the tension, and then he started suppressing other people. They were focusing on issues maybe that he wasn't as up to speed on, because this is a huge problem, a huge issue. It's a worldwide pandemic. And very clearly, you got to see that Fauci not only had very thin skin, but this was very much ego-driven for him. Maybe it didn't start out that way, but this is where we are now. And you can't lie to people about what they see. I can't tell you how many people, how many of you, and I'll probably get more email after this, when I play these sound bites of Fauci, there were so many of you who were in the same position that I was. You weren't going to get in the politics of it immediately, because you wanted to see if this guy was going to stick to just doing his job. And then it became very evident to all of us that he was not. And that was reflected in your emails when you would write me and you would say, okay, why is he talking about this? You played, you know, such and such on your show. Why is he getting into policy? He's not someone I would go to for policy and legislation. I want to know about mutations, or I want to know, you know, how long, you know, what is the space of the boosters or whatever? How are you spacing this out? Without getting into the political aspect of it. And he could not help himself. And you even saw that. So my point is that no one's going to come out and lie to you and say, oh, well, he's a bad guy, if he's not doing anything wrong. You're believing your eyes and your ears. And the sad thing is that we're all suffering for this. I would like to believe that if I'm paying as much in tax as I'm paying, that I'm going to be able to trust the people that have, well, that's kind of, let's remove from this equation the fact that they steal it from you in the first place. It's very difficult for me to trust thieves. So that being said, you would like to think that the people who are in charge of all of this have some sort of fealty to their craft and are at least purist in terms of quality of service. That's what we all kind of hope for, which is different from having faith in. And we've been betrayed on that. And I think more and more people, he's like falling out of favor, and more people notice this. The dude, not only did he fund horrible, torturous animal experimentation, but he also spent hundreds of thousands of our dollars on studying transgender monkeys for whatever reason. We're going to talk about that as well coming up. You don't want to miss.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, today in Duh, exercise may protect your brain even if you have signs of dementia, a study finds. A spike in autoimmune diseases is blamed on fast food. So this very interesting from the Francis Crick Institute out of London. Two scientists, James Lee and Carola Venusa, have studied autoimmune diseases like type 1 diabetes and multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and others. They said they spiked in recent decades. Now, they said that they are investigating whether the cause of such illness can actually be really ultimately majorly blamed on the recent pervasiveness of fast foods. They say that fast food obviously lacks certain important ingredients. This is a piece coming from The Guardian and The New York Post. They said that we're seeing with the advent of fast food in some countries, these diseases emerge like we never have before. Very interesting. It kind of makes sense. Diet is so much a part of that. A huge prehistoric sea dragon fossil was discovered in a UK reservoir. It is a mega find, and it's a huge, it's an ichthyosaur. Huge thing. Stick with us. We got more in store.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
I'm triple vaxxed, still got COVID. You're triple vaxxed, still got COVID. Why is the president still referring to this as a pandemic of the unvaccinated?
Well, I think, Peter, there's a significant difference between, and you just experienced this, and not to expose your public health experience, but I can speak to mine as well. I had been triple vaxxed. I had minor symptoms. There is a huge difference between that and being unvaccinated. You are 17 times more likely to go to the hospital if you're not vaccinated, 20 times more likely to die. And those are significant, serious statistics.
With comorbidities.
So yes,
like, make sure you keep that out
for people who are unvaccinated.
Make sure you keep that out. By the welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. Sign up for the Substack newsletter. It's at the top where it says subscribe. That was Juicy Time with Jen Psaki yesterday. So I don't know how this is. I'm not quite sure. The semantics back and forth, because what was it? You had Rochelle Walensky saying that 75% of people of the fatalities had four or more comorbidities. And people were saying, oh, well, she was specifically talking within the context of those who are vaccinated, as though that made it better. Oh my gosh. You're not helping yourselves. No. I had an acquaintance write a piece on that. And they were saying that, well, it was in the context of these are people who are vaccinated. And I was like, is that supposed to be somehow nullify the argument that the majority of people who are affected have serious comorbidities, and whether it's obesity or advanced age, et cetera, that's just the statistic for that. How does this make it better? In fact, that's even worse. Okay, you run with that. You guys go with that. My word. This is crazy. No, it's still going on. January 6th is mad because Jim Jordan won't do their stupid subpoena hearing thing. I wouldn't either. It's all stupid. Did they have any hearings over all y'all's businesses that were burning over the past couple of years? Huh? No, I don't remember none of them. So they don't remember how they responded. Like when your businesses and all that were burning and people were getting knocked out in the streets for the past couple of years. Hell, you had a lot of these Democrats in these cities that wouldn't even send out police to go and help you. They wouldn't even quell the riots. But man, oh man, you have a riot that breaks away from a larger peaceful protest on January 6th, and they make National Guard sleep like dogs outside for months on end, hundreds of thousands of them. Crazy. And then they built a wall. They literally built a wall. A few things here to still hit. I want to make sure I'm getting all the big stuff that we have on our rundown today, because it's that we've had a lot going on with the ongoing hearings with Fauci and Walensky in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee or the Senate Committee. And then you have the Judiciary Committee that's been doing the January 6th stuff. And then you have these mandates that are going into effect as it relates to the OSHA rule and mandatory vaccinations, even though SCOTUS hasn't really had they had expedited hearings on that to make a determination as to whether or not it's legal for them to do it. And then, of course, you have the ongoing filibuster fight. Now, Democrats have been saying that, and people like Ayanna Pressley and others, they're saying, oh my gosh, filibuster is the new Jim Crow. Democrats used the filibuster to defeat Tim Scott's police reform bill. Sorry, the black senator, that's important for the left, his police reform bill. Democrats used the filibuster to defeat that. But I thought it was Jim Crow. I mean, I could sit here and play you all the old-timey article of Chuck Schumer, everybody, and Joe Biden, and everybody else, Kamala Harris, talking about the sanctity of the filibuster. It's Jim Crow. You know what? The vax passes are Jim Crow. Demanding that people get a government, a piece of, or a QRC code or something from the government to give them permission to move freely, and then discriminating against majorly communities of color who have every historical right, by the way, to be very suspicious of government vaccines and testing, then demanding that you either be vaxxed or you don't get to participate in life. That seems to be pretty Jim Crow. Voter ID cards are bad, but vax passes are okay. And that actually does discriminate. This is all crazy. But they want to get rid of the filibuster because they want to be able to run roughshod over the minority party. And the filibuster is a feature, not a bug, of the system. Mitch McConnell, he got on the floor and was threatening Democrats. Look, here's something else, too, I want to make note of. I get it, excuse me, that there are some Republicans out there. I'm not a Mitch McConnell stan, okay? There's things that this man does that I totally disagree with. But I'm going to tell you what. You would not have Trump's judicial agenda for the second half of his term without Mitch McConnell. You would not have a conservative Supreme Court majority without Mitch McConnell. You would not have a number of really bad things gutted and stopped without Mitch McConnell. I think that needs to be acknowledged. Politics are a little bit more complex than some of this rhetoric that I hear, especially from wannabe candidates. Stop it. So he was threatening Democrats with this because he was saying that, excuse me, Democrats who consider an overhaul of the filibuster rule, he gave them a plan because they want to force tough votes on GOP-sponsored bills if Democrats make changes. And he said Schumer's hell-bent on trying to break the Senate. Republicans will show how this reckless action would have immediate consequences. Remember the last time they were getting rid of like simple majority in that with Harry Reid and doing the nuke option and all this other stuff? That greatly benefited Republicans. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we were able to get some of these judicial nominees in through so quickly. So he got out there and made a counteroffer to McConnell. And so it was very interesting. Democrats are now trying to get away from Chuck Schumer because he went out there and he made this counteroffer to McConnell. And he said that if you can get all the 50 Republicans to agree, then I'll have up or down votes at a simple majority threshold on, because there's like 18 different Republican bills that are stalled out. He said, we'll have up or down votes, simple majority. We can, and then so long as the Republican Party votes on those voting rights bills, right? And Democrats went, what? Because there's a ton of these bills that Democrats do not want to be on record for going into midterms. See, Schumer, here's the problem with having somebody like Schumer. Like Mitch McConnell's seat, I mean, they've never put up a good primary candidate and they won't. But Chuck Schumer doesn't ever have to worry about that. He owns that seat. He's going to be out of that seat when he chooses to be out of it or not. You know, if he passes away or something. That's the only way that seat's becoming available. So he doesn't have to worry about this stuff. He can play games of chicken like this. But this stuff does affect Democrats in seats that are not as strong, that are way more vulnerable. Can you imagine? I mean, imagine if you got Democrats voting on these GOP measures on face masks and vaccinations, doing away with those, and you got Democrats on record voting against it. Oh, boy. I think that absolutely sure as hell would change some seats especially in these purple, hotly contested areas. Can you imagine? So Schumer was trying to call McConnell's bluff, and then McConnell he opposed the request. He's like, no, that's not going to happen. I mean, really, Democrats don't have enough of a, they don't have, a, I mean, they're one vote over because of Kamala Harris. The problem is that Democrats don't have the unity in the Senate that Republicans do because they're so far left. They're so far left. I think Chuck Schumer's job is a little harder than Nancy Pelosi's right now, to be honest. Nancy Pelosi's is harder because she's dealing with the squad. Chuck Schumer's is harder because he's trying to make them go further left. Nancy Pelosi, who is further, don't mistake me. I'm not saying that Nancy Pelosi isn't far left. I'm saying she realizes what an untenable position that is, especially going into midterms. And the only reason that she's not joining them is because she knows that she would be stripped of her speakership, where Democrats are going to lose the House anyway. It's a question of by how much. She knows that that would greatly change the makeup of Congress. That's why she's dragging her feet. It's not that she isn't as far left as they are. It's just that she's more strategic about it, where they're stupid because they're newbies. They don't understand the Game of Thrones. Chuck Schumer has a harder job because he's trying to drag them to go more left, and they don't want to. And then they're being threatened by the rabble-rousers in the House. It's funny. Manchin and Sinema, they're going to be there for a while. I know Democrats are going to pour a ton of money into Sinema's next race, but Manchin's coming. They love him in West Virginia. They love him in West Virginia. And he's a Democrat, and that's a Trump state by double digits. They still love him. You're never going to get, he's another one. You're never going to get that man out of that seat unless he chooses to not be in that seat. Sinema's a little tougher, but she's representing her voters. They're more scared of their own voters than they are Democrat leadership. That is how it should be. Democrats don't like that. It disrupts their top-down hive mind approach. So the filibuster, Democrats cannot do anything to the filibuster without every single Democrat in the Senate joining it. And they have more on the fence or not on the same page than just Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. So that's not going to happen. They can sit here and weep and gnash their teeth all they want to. That's not going to happen.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
The New York Times has a story that says rapid at-home COVID tests are inaccessible to blind people as they require complex steps and have no braille guides. Not everyone who is blind can use a smartphone. So they can't. I think they're pretty much inaccessible to everybody right now. Just FYI. But, so we should ban them? Is that what it is? That's usually the response. Yeah. Ban it. I'm asking because I'm legit curious. Just asking for a friend. Thanks. It's all of us. So Fauci's NIH division paid $205,000 for researchers to study monkeys that were given a feminizing hormone therapy to study how it impacts the monkey's immune system because they were wondering why transgender women have high rates of HIV. Transgender women meaning dudes. Kane?
Don't drag me into this.
I know why.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I have some ideas.
Yeah, actually I do too.
Uh-huh. I have some ideas. I'm just saying.
And I would have done
it. Is it really?
I would have told my ideas for like $100.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have charged $205,000.
Right.
They gave these monkeys this feminizing spray to see how it impacts the monkey's immune system. And it's taking everything I have to get through this story. because this is the stupidest thing I've ever. It's dumb. They, and this was in, because he was in NIAID. He's been, he took it over in 1984, but he's been there since like the 70s.
So on a scientific level, are they saying that transgender women, which are men, mm-hmm. are like monkeys?
I don't know. I gave you a suggestion as to what I think it's related to in Slack. It's related to...
Yes.
That's.
Yes. All right.
Yes. That's what it's related to. Okay. Did you hear?
Gosh, I hope none of this. Steve, did you hear any of that?
I muted myself. It's okay. Okay.
Okay, yeah. But you didn't hear
but it. But I'm right, though, because that's how it was done.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're...
It's not like, oh, well, they're more feminine, so did they get the AIDS? Is that what? No, that's not how that worked. That's not alone.
Right.
Because
Fauci's history with AIDS has really been pretty bad.
Yeah, I right when he like came to, I guess, not power, but notoriety, and I was he's like been involved in all of that. He was involved in that whole Ryan White thing and everything back in the 90s. He's they hated him back then.
Yeah.
The Dallas Buyers Club, they hated him. Now why do you like him now? Because of my Trump. But Trump. Man, Trump broke everybody. He broke them. Man, he broke them. So they asked, they're like, why the hell were you? Because here's the thing. They were trying to study why men who identify as women get AIDS. And then they were saying, well, we're going to study feminized monkeys. But then they couldn't use the whole stupid study because monkeys can't get HIV. They can only get a simian immunodeficiency virus, a milder, different form of it. So they can't even get it in the beginning. So we wasted all this money for nothing.
Was that my money?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wasn't paying taxes back then, but, you know, it's all still our money.
I may have.
Jiminy. All right, today in Stupidity, Kane, as if that didn't do it by itself.
Former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe talking about how there must be a federal police response to any school board violence, nothing local.
This wave of political violence that's really not just confined to the Capitol. It's going on in school boards around the country. It's going on in local elections. It's happening, you know, even to healthcare workers. I mean, that has got to be considered a threat to national security, not tolerated.
Basically, he doesn't want anything left up to the localities. He only wants a federal response to those sort of things. No thanks.
Mm-mm. Nope, that's not how that works. There you go. All right, folks. We are wrapping up today's broadcast. Sign up for the newsletter. Back behind the mic with you tomorrow.